In so many ways, what we've celebrated now for 3 days, All Hallows Eve, today on All Saints' Day, tomorrow on All Souls' Day, is a reminder to us of many different things and how everything is all connected. That sometimes we have a tendency to see things in different buckets in life. But really, in God's imagination and in God's way of seeing things, they're all part of the same thing. And they're all connected, probably more than we sometimes contemplate or realize. And so, in a way to kind of put some of those things together and maybe connect some of those dots, I wanted to have a little amusement this evening. Okay? So I'm going to do a little show and tell. And after we do the show and tell, we're going to see how well we can put all those dots together. Okay? So first of all, what is this?
Charger.
A what?
A halo.
Well, okay. All right, I'm going to give you credit because you're the first person who said it's a plate. It's actually a charger. Okay, out of my dining room. And that is a correct answer. It's not the one I'm looking for, though. The one that was yelled out right after that was the one I was looking for. And that is the halo. Okay? Now, you can't see them too well because, well, you know, we had that time change thing. But on all of the images, especially in our windows, all of our saints, okay, and Jesus and Mary, all of them, all have halos. What's it supposed to be a sign of when we see that in a picture? No, not that you're quite dead, okay? Really, it was to kind of the way that people recognized that that person had a certain glow about them, okay? That person had a certain glow about them, a certain holiness that people could see, that it was tangible. And that's how we got this business about the saints started anyway, okay? Was that there were people in life who were saintly. They let their holiness shine through. And when they let that holiness of God shine through, other people recognized it in their lives. And even while they were living and then after they were dead, those people said, that was a saint. Now, we've all known people who were saintly, okay? We've all known people who were saintly. And there are moments when all of us are a little saintly, all right? Don't look for mine too much. My horns knock it out of the way just a little bit too much. But there are moments when all of us are saintly, when all of us kind of glow with a little bit of God's holiness. And in those moments, we're supposed to be able to recognize those things. We're supposed to be able to see that in our lives and in other people's lives. That's in so many ways what our Beatitudes in the Gospel were about today. Is that Jesus would walk through life, and this whole list of probably a whole list of sayings of his that he used over and over and over again in order to teach his lesson of living in the kingdom, as living as people of the kingdom. When he'd come along a person who was suffering and saying, blessed are you who are suffering. Because you're going to know that healing. He'd say to those who would bring peace to turbulent situations, he'd say, blessed are those who are the peacemakers. Because you're the children of God. And he'd say to those who really knew their need for God, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Because the kingdom of heaven is yours. See, Jesus was just going through life, calling out the holiness as he saw it in the people that he taught, in the people that he preached to. It's an important thing for us to remember, because as we celebrate this Feast of All Saints, it's not just all those people are on the other side that have been through an official church procedure that suddenly were named saints, because they're not the only ones. You see, we're supposed to be God's saints now. Most of us are not going to make the calendar. Or at least I can pretty well guarantee that I'm not going to make the calendar, okay? But we are still supposed to be God's saints. Do you hear that second reading when it says we're God's children now? What we'll later be? Well, we haven't quite got all that down yet. But we're God's children now. That's who we're called to be as saints. Of course we honor the ones who were those phenomenal examples for us. Of course we do. But we've got to remember that we too are called to that type of holiness. We too are supposed to do a little bit of that glowing in the dark with God's holiness as we live in the kingdom. All right, I got another one for you. I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite gifts that I've received during time of plague. Here's my new favorite mask. Can you see that? It really kind of creeps you out when you're in a whole room of people wearing these, because the lips kind of move when you're talking. But it's a painting. It's part of a mask. Does anybody know where they might have seen something similar? Have you ever seen any of the decorations by any of our Mexican Americans? Okay, all right. And some of you are of that descent. All right, and this is what we're going to celebrate tomorrow, November the 2nd. The feast day of All Souls, or in Spanish, El Día de los Muertos, okay, the Day of the Dead. And, all I'm going to tell you is, in one of my assignments, when I put up the decorations for the Day of the Dead, somebody accused me of being satanic. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not in the mood, so don't start with me. Okay, I had enough of that. This is really to remember those who've gone before us, the dead who've gone before us, and that's what we celebrate tomorrow. Now, it's connected to today's feast day, but it's a little bit different because the focus is a little bit different. Okay, tomorrow we focus on the dead, and so in the Mexican culture, now not so much in all the South American cultures. For example, our Guatemalans and Carthage don't really celebrate this too much. All right. Because it just wasn't part of their culture and those their things, but basically, you know, sometimes you'd see the decorated skulls and you'd see them painted, in bright colors, and the whole idea was that even in death, there's joy, and even though we lose someone and there are tears, and the death and the decay and all that stuff is real, the other part of the mystery still lives on. Because our relationship with all those people is not over. It's just changed a little bit. And so, as we celebrate the Feast of All Souls tomorrow, we're reminding ourselves that death has really no power over us. And even though in our eyes we may start to see skeletons and bones and those kinds of things, there's still reason for great joy, because those people who were with us in life are still with us in their death. They're still there. The relationship has changed, of course, but it's never over. That's the reminder. Watch the movie Coco. It's pretty good, okay? Just watch it if you want to see that idea of the communion of saints and how we're still connected with the dead. What is this? It's our book of remembrance, okay? We put it out every November. This is our nice, staid, white bread version of the Day of the Dead, okay? It's not quite as attractive, all right? And not nearly as much fun. But it's another way of doing the same thing. It's remembering all those who've gone before us. Now, this year, you all can't sign it and put your new names in of the folks that you know and love who've died during this last year. So what we're going to ask you to do is, if you want the names of your loved ones, you can either wait and put them in next year and just put them in your heart this year, okay? Or you can call the office, and we're going to write them in there for you, okay? And we'll still add them to the book. So you can do it however you want to do it. But I'm encouraging you to do it. To remember those who've gone on to the other side, especially this year. Later this month, we'll have a little celebration again, a little bit tamped down and different because of the plague, but we're going to remember all those we buried from St. Peter's here during this last year. It's important to us because, again, it's important for us to remember that those people are still with us. They're just there in a different way. That prayer we always pray together at the end of our petitions during this time: eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. And may their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Another reminder to us that it's part of the same mystery. One more, just for the fun of it. What is this? A white garment, okay? A white garment worn by your priest I love it. This is good. You guys are the most creative answers of anybody I've got in the four masses, I'm here to tell you. But indeed, this is my white garment. In Latin, we call it an alb. Okay? An alb. Basically, it's the Latin word for white. I'm not the only one that's supposed to be wearing a white garment. Okay? Now, tonight, I may happen to be. But we've had all kinds of baptisms the last few weeks. And did you ever notice at the end of the baptism, we look at the little one and we say, "See in the white garment that you now wear, the outward sign of your Christian dignity. With your family and your friends to help you by word and example, bring that dignity unstained into the everlasting life of heaven." You see, at baptism, we all get clothed in white. Did you hear in the first reading tonight about that 144,000? Did you hear about that group? Now, don't get caught up on the number. It's a perfect number. 12 times 12 times infinity. Okay? God's perfect number. That doesn't mean there's just 144,000 of us that are going to make it into heaven. It means that all of us who God has chosen are going to make it. We survive the trial. We survive the challenge. And in doing that, we are that 144,000. We're the ones who bear the mark of the Lord on our forehead. We're the ones who wear that sign of the cross. We're the ones who live in the kingdom of God. Not just on the other side, but right here and right now. That's why we're called to transform the world. That's why we're called to take all this ick of the world, and God knows there's plenty of it. That's why we're called to transform that ick into something beautiful for God. That's who we're called to be. One of those chosen of God who live our lives in such a way, again, to connect to the other dot, that's going to show a little bit of God's holiness to the world, that's going to transform the world. Because you see, all of that stuff that we've been just talking about is tied in here as we break open the Word, as we hear those stories about who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to be and whose we're supposed to be. And in a few minutes, we're going to gather at the altar. And as we gather at this altar, we're going to take those gifts of bread and wine that are symbolic of our lives, and we're going to ask God to change them for us. So that they're no longer plain old bread and wine, and we're no longer plain old us. But we're going to ask God to transform them for us so that we, living in the person of Jesus, become his body and blood. You see, in our lives, we like to chop it apart and put it in all these different buckets. And if you notice, in God's imagination, it's only one great big bucket. It's the bucket of who we're called to be as members of God's family. It's who we're called to be in terms of how we live our life here, what we're supposed to be transformed into, and how we're going to live forever on the other side. That mystery is one great big mystery. And thanks be to God, every November we remind ourselves of all of those pieces of those mysteries. So that we can continue to not live in this world that's all chopped up and divided, but rather to live in one mystery, that mystery that is our God. And so I'm going to ask you to do what you can in order to erase some of those lines, some of those distinctions and those different buckets, and draw them all together into one place. When was the last time you talked to your patron saints? When was the last time you asked him to be with you and to help you? I ask John and Francis and Timothy all the time for help. I need all the help I can get. And I ask for that help from the other side. I ask St. Peter for help all the time. I ask St. Rose Philippine Duchenne. I used to walk by her old house all the time when I lived in Florissant. And she wasn't living, but I walked by the house all the time. And each time I still go to Florissant, I pray for all of you. I go around to the back of the house and I look at the little closet where she slept. And I pray for all of you. And I pray for all of the church in Southern Missouri. I ask for that help because she wanted to go to a mission land. And I'm still blaming her that I got called to a mission land. Even if it was from central Missouri to the south, okay? I got called to a mission land, and I couldn't deny the call. Because it was, go somewhere where you're needed a little bit more. We have plenty of Catholics up here. Go somewhere else where you might be needed a little bit more. And here I am, 30 some odd years later. When was the last time you spoke to your patrons? When was the last time you invoked that help from the other side to live your life the way that you know that you need to, or the way that you could? Next, when was the last time you sat down and had a good cry with all those that you know and love who've gone before you in life and in faith? When was the last time you talked to your beloved dead? When was the last time you told them how much you missed them? And you're going to hear them partially, so well, you don't have to miss me quite so much if you talk to me a little bit more. You know? Because they're there. In the same way we pray for them, they pray for us. It's that simple. They're with us still. I know I've told some of you before about all the stuffed animals that sit on my bed, and when I make that bed and I put those animals in place, I talk to some of the key people in my life who those remind me of. I talk to them in the morning. We need to make those connections stronger. Not let them get weaker over time, but keep them strong. Because I remind them all the time that one of these days, I'm going to be joining them. And I want them there at the door to meet me. I want them there at the door to meet me and to welcome me into the rest of my life. That's what it's about. And finally, in a moment here, as we pray at the Lord's altar, do we remember, listen to the words of the Eucharistic prayer, do we remember that the saints are involved? Do we remember that the angels are involved? Do we remember that we rely on each other, which is why we have the church, to live the lives that we're living now? If we weren't with each other, we couldn't do this as well if we were trying to do it by ourselves. We can only do it better because we're with each other. And we challenge each other. And we push each other to be who we're supposed to be. That's the mystery that we celebrate. We got to stop putting it in all those different buckets and remember it's all part of the same mystery. That's what we celebrate tonight. Our union with God, with the saints, with our beloved dead, and with each other. It is as God intended. And so let us pray.